you are a guest here among us this morning,
perhaps this is your first time visiting with us, first I want to say welcome. We're glad you're here with us this morning. We trust that you will receive a blessing from our worship service. I also want to fill you in on something that you may not know. Can I tell you something special? We're conducting a different service this morning than we usually do. We do this 4 times a year. There's nothing magical about that number, once a quarter, but we do that so that it's neither too rare or too commonplace, and that is our communion service, the celebration of the Lord's Supper with us, partaking in the symbols that Jesus gave us of the body and bread of Jesus, our sacrifice. Now, that's something that is common to many Christian churches on one schedule in one way or another. But before we do that, I need to interrupt myself. I need to make sure that you know, as our guests, that if you take Jesus as your personal Savior, you're welcome to take part in our communion service with us. We want you to partake of those symbols if you choose to do so. Before we do that, we do something that is not quite as common among Christians. In fact, I'm not sure that anyone else does it as regularly as we do, and that is to follow the other instruction of Jesus from that Last Supper story and wash one another's feet. We do this not because we necessarily need it physically, but as a way to try to honor Jesus' instruction to serve one another, to wash one another's feet. It's a reminder of humility and of our need to humble ourselves, not just before Jesus, but before one another. You're also welcome to join in with us in that commemorative service, that reminder, but don't feel obligated. If you choose not to do that, you're welcome to come and watch to see what we're doing in there, or simply to sit quietly in the sanctuary when we separate for that service. There, I filled you in on the secret so that you know in advance what's coming. But before we do those things, we're going to turn our attention for a moment to God's Word, to prepare our hearts through His Word for this most important of our regular worship services. And we're turning to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and the 19th chapter, reading something that comes late in the story of the Passion Week. John chapter 19, beginning with verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. A life of service was behind him. 3.5 years of very intensive, draining ministry was behind him. The Passion Week, with all of its concentrated events and teaching, were now behind him. A long night of painful, agonizing prayer, memory now. The farce of a trial and the abuse at the hands of those who arrested him is now behind him. And a day of unrecognizable pain, pain beyond our comprehension and suffering beyond our realization, is now behind him at this moment. He has experienced separation from his Father, as none of us, I pray, ever will. And then come these last words. It is finished. Well, when we hear those words, we can understand many things that are in fact finished at that point, can we not? But to understand the weight of those words in our lives today, that's our purpose this morning. Maybe it's most useful for us to start out by admitting to ourselves, recognizing, acknowledging what it did not mean when he said those words. You could imagine a lot of creative things might be intended by that phrase, "It is finished." It did not mean, of course, that our lives have already been lived, did it? That's not what he meant by "it is finished." We still needed to be born and live and die or meet Jesus when he comes. It did not mean, and we should not take it to mean even today, that our growth as Christians has been completed. That's not what was finished there on the cross, is it? We still need, even from this time forward, to continue to seek God, to accept God, and to serve and follow and grow and be further developed in our characters. That's not what he means when he says it is finished. We still have that growth, that process of growth, to continue in. And, of course, right down at the moment-by-moment level, there's still something that we must do even in order to grow, and that is to continue to make choices, to continue to make decisions, right or wrong, good or evil, pleasant or ill. We still need to make our decisions hour by hour to follow in his path. That was not finished. And when we accept that what he said about being finished, we still must recognize that this is still an ongoing process for us. Those struggles continue today and are still before us. That's not finished. So those are the things, some of the things anyway, that it did not mean when Jesus said, "It is finished." So maybe that will help us narrow it down to understand what it did include. In his life alone, in the experience of Jesus, what was finished at that point? At that point, when Jesus said, "It is finished," he had already faced every temptation that Satan could throw at him. That experience was finished. Every temptation has come, and every challenge that has come his way at that point when he said those words is now finished. He has overcome all challenges that can be presented to him in his lifetime. Every loss that he could suffer has now been absorbed. He has taken it, and he has moved past it. That is finished when he says those words. Every debt has been paid when Jesus said, "It is finished." What are the debts that we're talking about here? Jesus probably didn't have any back debts financially. That's not what we mean when we say that. We're talking about our debts, aren't we? Every debt that we will ever incur, every moral debt, has been paid at that moment. It is finished. It's all taken care of. Every soul, at that moment, Jesus hanging on the cross, every one of us, every one of our family and friends, every human being who has ever lived, every human being who will yet live, has been purchased. Every soul has been purchased. At that point, hanging on the cross, that task is finished. What does it mean to us then today? We've examined what it did cover and did not cover in the life and the experience of Jesus. But what about us? What can we take home from those words today? We have, most of us, been baptized into Christ. Of course, we have been baptized, the Bible says more specifically, into his death, have we not? Somehow that act of baptism, that conversion process, links us to Jesus at that moment on the cross. And so his words do have a great significance for those of us who are believers. At this point, what can we say is true because of what those words meant to Jesus? For us, today, you examine my words in your own hearts and determine whether they're true for you. For us today, it is true that every temptation may be overcome. Because of what Jesus has done, every temptation that you will experience today, tomorrow, and every day may be overcome by his power. That's what the words mean to us. Every discouragement that may come our way today or next year may come to an end, may have an ending point. There will be victory after the defeats. Because of Jesus' words, we can know that. Because of his words, it is finished. Because of the truth of those words, it is finished. Every loss that we may ever suffer and have ever suffered is now recompensed. The debts are paid. We can live our life because of that reality free of debt. He has paid the debts for us. Because of it is finished, we can live, we are called to live our lives as sons and daughters of the King. It has changed that reality for us. We are called to live our lives holding in our possession, owners of the title to the future, the infinite future. We mark today in our memorial commemorative service the sacrifice of Jesus that immediately followed those words, "It is finished." As we look back to the past to remember what Jesus has done, I invite you also, because of what he said, to celebrate the gift, to celebrate the hope and the confidence and the assurance that he gave us through that sacrifice for our sake. We are going to go ahead and separate here in just a moment for our foot washing service. Now, most of you have already done this in this place, so I'm going on hearsay, but I trust my source that those who would like to take part and wash one another's feet as a married couple, that's going to be across the way in the community service building, the Better Living Center, and then we will have rooms provided for both men and women who would like to take part alone, and those are across the way out this door in the Sabbath School wing. Let's go ahead and separate at this time. I understand while we're doing that, if there are children who do not want to take part, there will be a story here for them in the front. And when we return, please be kind enough to try to sit in every other row so that the ushers can serve you more easily. Let's go ahead and separate for our foot washing service.